just 5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. It is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. And as always, I'm live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Huh. I'm just trying to keep track of everything. We got conference awards coming out like crazy. Good news for all of them. UNC, CSU, CU. We're getting into conference championship week. A lot of games coming up. Short time to talk about it. So we got all that. Plus the NBA All-Star game. Nikola Jokic didn't stuff the stat sheet by any means, but I think he kind of stole the show just with his attitude and the kind of guy he is. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But first and foremost, one of my good friends, Zach Stevens, one of my good friends that I've only met via this show. It's kind of crazy, but Zach Stevens, great guy from DNVR Broncos. Zach, my man, how was the weekend?
Brady, what's going on? It was great, not eventful, but that's going to change soon, Brady. I'm just enjoying these next couple days where Broncos news is on the down low until it all explodes next week. We are 1 week away from the legal tampering period to begin, and of course, just so weird that there's a legal tampering period.
Yeah, it's such a strange time. Like, you can't talk to them now, but you can have the exact same conversations next week, but don't do it in this period of time. It's always kind of interesting.
Yeah, it certainly is. And then, of course, the legal tampering period opens next Monday, and there's 48 hours until it officially begins when you can sign players. So bizarre.
Do you ever see, okay, you're in the thick of this all the time with the Broncos information, but really all of the NFL news and legalities and all that. I mean, do you ever just like step back and say, this is kind of absurd? Just some of the rules that they have, both sometimes even on the field, but certainly off the field, just some of the rules surrounding the NFL.
Oh my gosh, of course. Just like you said, not just with on the field stuff, but you know, at the end of the day, this is a game. And it's so funny with how serious things are taken. And I understand how, you know, when the game's being played, how serious it is, but all of the formalities that come with it. Because, Brady, in all honesty, the legal tampering period, another reason why it's kind of a joke, is because the illegal tampering period pretty much starts at the combine. So actually, that kind of throws an interesting curve in all of this, that there was no combine. So there really hasn't been much illegal tampering going on up to this point. So we've seen a lot of deals in the past where right when the legal tampering period opens, you know, it opens at, you know, noon, we see deals come down at 12:01 for, you know, 5 years, $100 million. Wait, you didn't do that in 1 minute. So, but here's the thing with this year is we actually may not see those things happen. We may see, you know, a couple hours to negotiate the $100 million deal. So it may be a tad bit different in that sense.
Yeah, no question. It's bizarro world for sure. All right. So last week we had you on, of course, Friday, with the breaking news, Justin Simmons getting the franchise tag. All signs point to something getting done between Justin Simmons and the Broncos. So for now, I'm going to chalk that one up to a positive. I'm not going to worry about it right now. I'm not going to stress about it anymore until we hear otherwise, Zach. But the next thing on the list, how about Von Miller? Sounds like charges will not be filed against Von. So we can clear that out of the way. And now it's all football here. Is that the gist of that side of it?
Exactly. It's all football, and that's how George Payton wanted to make this decision, and now we know that for sure. That news came down on Friday, and he has about a week to make that decision, whether or not to pick up Von Miller's contract option. And Brady, I've been saying on this show for weeks and months now to this point that I did not think there was any chance Von Miller was going to be back with the Broncos in 2021. Under the contract that he has now, which is $22 million cap hit, $18 million in cash, and only $4 million in dead money, and I have to change that. I think there's a chance that they just pick that up and proceed with that 1 year left on his deal just because of how it's coming down to right now. You see the market shaping up. J.J. Watt's two-year, $31 million contract that he got, that sets up a market where it's going to be very hard to ask Von Miller to take a pay cut. And if you're going to ask him to take a pay cut to down to $15.5 million, well, then you're also going to be extending him for one or two more years. And maybe at the end of the day, George Payton just says, you know what, we're just going to roll with Von this year, see what he has left coming off the injury, coming off an 8-sack season. I'd rather be tied up to Von for 1 year, $18 million, than let's say 3 years, $55 million, something like that, if you'd have to give him an extension now. So I wouldn't be shocked now if they do go down the route of just picking up that contract option. Now, I do think that George Payton wants to get that number down, but what's it going to be? Is it going to be a one-year $15 million deal where they bring that cap hit down from 22 to 15? Maybe, and I think that's a deal that a lot of people could get behind. But originally, a lot of people were thinking that maybe you get Vaughn down to, you know, 10, 12 million. With the court case now settled and him not going to be charged, and along with the way the market's setting up, man, you may have no choice but to pick up that option.
Wow, what a difference a few weeks and a big J.J. Watt signing. What a difference all that stuff really makes. Okay, so we're thinking maybe Vaughn stays, and maybe there's no movement as far as the price tag for Vaughn, and we just stick with it. What does that then do when we move down the line, looking at Kareem Jackson? Because, again, there's still a lot of Broncos fans out there that are hopeful somehow, some way, a Deshaun Watson trade happens. But don't you have to start being pretty careful? If you keep Vaughn's contract in Denver, I mean, what do we have left here? I mean, if you take care of Kareem Jackson, you pick up that option. You hope to sign maybe a free agent or two. And then obviously you have to have something left over for rookies. So what does that do for some of those big names? Kareem, Deshaun, draft, free agency.
Yeah, well, what it does, Brady, is the Broncos are sitting in a great position with $45 million in cap space. That's top five in the NFL. But if you keep Vaughn, you keep Kareem, you pick up his option, he's going to cost you $12.8 million against the cap. And then you sign Shelby Harris, let's say 3 years, $30 million, $10 million for him. And you also pick up second-round tender options for Tim Patrick, Philip Lindsay, and Alexander Johnson. That's going to cost you over $10 million in total for them. Once you do all of those things, then you have no more money left. You can't sign anyone else. So what it means is free agency is actually going to be boring because it's going to be keeping all of your own players, unless George Payton wants to really kick the can down the road. And let's say instead of picking up Vaughn's option, they give him 2 years or 3 year contract for $50 million and they backload it. So a lot of the cap hits come in year two and year three to free up some money this year. Same with Kareem Jackson. They could rework an extension for him. If Shelby Harris's deal that he's likely to get, if that comes in the form of a 3 year deal and they kick the can down the road for them, they could do that to free up a lot of cap space this year. But Brady, my question would be, why would you do that? You know, if the Broncos were in win-now mode and legitimate win-now, then I get kicking the can down the road. But you don't want to be the New Orleans Saints where they're having to just cut or restructure everyone on their team because they've kicked the can down the road so long. And the biggest difference between the Saints doing that when they had Drew Brees and had legitimate Super Bowl contentions was just that. They were a contender, so it made sense for them to do that. And kick it down to a time when they weren't really going to contend once Drew Brees left. But now with the Broncos, why would you do that when you're not really contending this year? In fact, I would do the opposite if I was George Payton. If I'm signing Shelby Harris up to a three-year deal, I'm front-loading it so that when the Broncos are ready to compete in 2 or 3 years from now, that contract is only, you know, $5 million in salary cap, and then so you can spend the rest of that money on getting free agents here. So you're absolutely right. The Broncos aren't in a bad spot by any means. They're in a good spot, but don't expect $45 million to turn into, you know, two or three big time free agents.
Yeah, because Zach, how much do you typically want to see as far as rookie contracts go? How much are you reserving there?
You save just under $10 million. So a lot of people will say seven. It's easy just to say keep $10 million available. So that's exactly it. You take $10 million away. Okay, Broncos dealing with about $35 million in cap space this year.
Wow. Yeah, I'm doing the math as you're talking, and yeah, you dwindle down pretty quickly, not leaving any room for, yeah, like you said, free agents. So it is very interesting, and this is something, Zach, that I wondered about as soon as George Payton was hired and we didn't have all the Deshaun Watson talk. I wondered if Denver might just stay the course because it's this weird tweener year with the ownership situation. But then, of course, as the Deshaun Watson story started to go, I wondered about Von Miller. Of course, we talked about Justin Simmons. But it might just come all the way back to, nah, you know what, we're going to stay the course here. And as George Payton said, build through the draft.
Yep, exactly. Build through the draft. stay the course. And then, you know, you get a better evaluation on Drew Lock. George Payton, as he told us on Thursday, he gets to see him for the first time in person. Now, he's met him in person because Drew's been in the facility to work out, but he's never watched him in person play. And, you know, a general manager really wants to do that. So he gets to see that. Maybe he picks up a Gardner Minshew to also add some competition, to add some excitement, to see if he can turn anything out of that. But then he also gets to see, okay, what is Von Miller? Is he the Von Miller that he was a couple of years ago? Or is he the Von Miller where, you know, maybe he's now a little more injury prone, and when he does play, he's more of a half a sack per game type of player, Kareem Jackson. And then, so if he stays the route, I would understand why he's doing that, just to be able to see everything on his own with a six-year contract. He has the time to do that. But then just think about the sweeping changes that could happen next year under George Payton when he's been on the job for 14 months, you know, free up tons of money with Von Miller off the books, tons of money with Kareem Jackson off the books, and then he can make a huge play for quarterback, whether that's trading up in the first round, whether that's drafting a guy in the first round, or, you know, heck, maybe the Texans still haven't resolved the Deshaun Watson situation and go that route. So I wouldn't be shocked. And that was one of the first things I was told when George Payton was hired from a source. They said, don't be surprised if George Payton really just takes a step back to evaluate how everything's going on this year before making any big time moves.
Oh, it'll all be very interesting to see what he ultimately does. Year one, and then year two could be really crazy. How about Philip Lindsay? What do we know about the situation? What do we know about the tender situation for Philip Lindsay at this point?
Well, as George Payton said last week, he wants to keep every single Bronco that was on the team last year. But what he didn't say was at what cost. And when it comes down to Philip Lindsay and the tenders, he says that the Broncos are going to tender Philip Lindsay, Tim Patrick, and Alexander Johnson. But they're still deciding what tenders to use. And that's obviously the biggest thing here, because the Broncos could use a first or a second round tender. First round tender costs $4.5 million per year for each player. Second round tender costs $3.5 million per year for each player. And what that does for any of those guys, it guarantees pretty much that they're going to be Broncos in 2021. Now, if the Broncos use an original round tender, it means the Broncos will not get anything back in draft compensation if one of those guys is signed by another team. But it will allow them to match the contract for one of those guys. And because Philip Lindsay was undrafted, there won't be any compensation if you put an original round tender on. Brady, to me, it only makes sense to put a second round tender on Philip Lindsay, Alexander Johnson, and Tim Patrick. If you put a second round tender, they're back for $3.5 million for one season. No team's going to sign those guys and have to give up a second round pick to the Broncos.
Man.
However, if you mess around and you put an original round tender on, you'll save $1 million on each guy. And I think that any of those guys will be gone. So to me, it is very straightforward. If the Broncos want any of these guys back, including Philip Lindsay, stick a second-round tender on them, and then they'll be back. If you don't, you're saying that you don't really want them that much.
Well, and if you don't with Philip Lindsay, then you're, you know, obviously there's so much stock put into Melvin Gordon one way or the other. We don't even know what that suspension situation looks like. If you don't keep Philip Lindsay, then aren't you in the market for a running back in the draft? And I'm talking probably maybe as high as a third round, if not more so, if you move on from Lindsay and unsure about Gordon, who's only, what, he's only got 1 year left on the contract anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're not bringing one of these guys back, regardless of who it is, you are absolutely in the quarterback camp right now. And let's say for some reason you keep Philip Lindsay and you move on from Melvin Gordon. And then here's a situation for you, Brady. I do think it would be a day two pick, but what happens if the Broncos trade back from 9 to 18, something like that, in the first round, and then 18 to 26, George Payton just really wants to accumulate picks, which we know he wants to do. What if you trade back and then the best player on the board is Najee Harris? And you could go running back there, and that would be something. But you're right. You're not going to do something like that if you have both Philip and Melvin. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos make a move at running back.
Yeah, boy. Everything you're telling me today, Zach, it almost sounds like, and we could be surprised, but we're going to run this back. We're going to see what this group has. Obviously, building the draft a little bit, but who knows how many of those guys will make an immediate impact next year. But for the most part, it sure sounds like we're going to see almost everybody back that was on this roster last year.
Yeah, that's what George Payton wants to do. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a surprising move where the Broncos aren't able to get a deal with maybe Yvonne, maybe Kareem or Shelby, and one of those guys moves on. But for the most part, Brady, it's going to be a very similar squad to last year.
If they don't get something worked out with Vaughn, and like you said, it's starting to sound like there's going to be something happening one way or the other with Vaughn and staying with the Broncos. If not, does that change everything then to the Broncos? Do they get aggressive? And you know, I'm looking at the free agency list, and there's definitely some big names. Inside linebacker is going to be there. Lavonte David's name, I know that's come up a few times. Right now, it wouldn't seem possible, but if you're not going to go with Vaughn, if you can't work it out, whatever, do you see Denver then turning around saying, all right, we're going to get aggressive and get somebody in free agency?
Yep, absolutely. The Von Miller contract is, I think, where it comes down to if the Broncos spend money on free agents or not. If they move on from Vaughn, boom, there's $18 million that they can use on any free agent that they want. That could get you two very, very good players. Or obviously like an incredible player, a Von Miller type of player, yeah, is what that money could get you. If you keep Von, and assuming that everything else stays relatively the same, of course you've already tagged Justin Simmons, you keep Shelby Harris because you can't let him go, then Brady, the money's just not going to be there for anything big.
Yeah, like you said, it could be it's going to be interesting for the Broncos to see who they keep from this roster. But like you alluded to, free agency outside of Denver's own guys might be pretty boring. Zach, what are you working on for us, man, that we can check out in the next couple of days?
Breaking down what the Broncos are going to do with all of their own free agents. Are they going to let these guys walk? Are they going to keep them here? And of course, Brady, just getting ready for the craziness of what's going to come in the next week.
Oh, my goodness. Zach, appreciate you as always, man. And, yeah, we'll see. Maybe we do get thrown a couple of surprises down through the next couple of weeks. We'll catch up with you next week.
Hey, I look forward to it. Thanks, Brady.
All right, man. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Well, there you go. Now, the situation is interesting with Vaughn. Now you have that. The files against Vaughn were dropped, or charges will not be filed, I guess I should say. So he's in the clear there. Now it's all about football and what you want to do going forward. That whole situation is bizarre, Colfax. We didn't get a lot of information on this. All we know is that Vaughn's ex-girlfriend, I want to say. Could it be ex-fiance? Possibly. Ex-girlfriend. They were breaking up, going through issues. She became pregnant. It was, we kind of found in a roundabout way. Vaughn wasn't crazy about that. I don't know how much truth there is to some of the tweets and texts he sent or whatever. I'm not going to get into that too much. But then when it came to, okay, there might be some assault charges or something like that, she made it very clear on her own accounts that there was never anything like that, ever. No physical altercations whatsoever. Vaughn was never that guy. And then that was kind of the last we heard of it, other than the police officials basically saying, we're investigating it. Well, then today it's dropped. So I much to do about nothing? I don't know. That's where we are at this point. You know, it's innocent until proven guilty. So I would imagine we're moving right along in this situation with Vaughn. So now it comes down to, well, it does come down to, do the Broncos just run this back, pay Vaughn? Do they really want Von Miller? And if they do they just want him for the year for a test run? And that's a pretty expensive test run, right? $18 million. And if that's the case, okay, we stay here. Or you sign him for 2 to 3 years and you work out a deal, but then you're locked in if Vaughn has hit that wall. If he's hit the proverbial wall and he's not good anymore, now you're locked into 2 to 3 years and you don't know if you want to do that just yet. So maybe they do go that route. Kareem Jackson, his money's in the books right now. So, I mean, it shows that you have $35 million left. Picking up that option with Kareem, do you work out a deal, a long-term deal, where that comes down a little bit into this year? We'll see. Philip Lindsay's the interesting one. What tender are they putting on? If he's at his original undrafted round, that would pay him $2.13 million. If the Broncos put an original undrafted round tender on him, he would get $2.13 million next year. And that also means that a team has a better chance of going after him for even $3 million, knowing they don't have to trade a second round pick. If you slap a second round tender on him, that means that not only Do the Broncos have to approve a trade or approve a pickup because they can match it? If a team offers him anything, let's say $3 million, they would also have to give Denver a second-round pick. That is too expensive for Philip Lindsay. Philip Lindsay is not worth a second-round pick. I don't even know what kind of pick he is. So ultimately, if you go with the undrafted undrafted round, yeah, you open it up and he's going to get to see what's out there. And then Denver will get to decide if they want to match it. I can't imagine Lindsay at this stage getting much more than $2 or $3 million. At the beginning of last season, I thought $6 million seems reasonable, but his injuries, his lack of production went way down. He's not really receiving back, so I don't see him making much more than that. And if you slap a second-round tender on him, he's safe because no one's going to do that. So I guess we're going to find out. You know, Alexander Johnson, I like him. He's an energetic player, but he's not like a sound linebacker that's going to be, I think, you know, he's, like I said, high energy. Is he a sound? Can he cover these tight ends? That's what you're looking for, because you got a lot of stud tight ends in the AFC West, specifically Travis Kelce. So you need to find somebody that can help bracket those tight ends. That'll be interesting. Tim Patrick. Tim Patrick's really intriguing because you sign him and it suddenly, you know, are you overloaded at the wide receiver position because Cortland Sutton's coming back. Tim Patrick probably makes the least amount of sense for me, just given the fact that you're getting Cortland Sutton back. You have Jerry Jeudy, you have KJ Hamler. Patrick might be overall the better of those wide receivers right now, save for Cortland Sutton. 27 minutes after the hour, a lot to bust into today. Joker in the All-Star game. We're talking Colorado State. Big news for Nico Medved. We'll get to that and so much more coming up next.
Think your bracket can win it all? Join the Hull Show's Bracket Challenge and hear the latest in hoops on 1310 KFKA. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back. It's The Hull Show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Man, I'd say Nikola Jokic received a lot of great press last night, man. I mean, this was a big deal. You know, he didn't tear it up stat-wise, but he's so funny, so humble. He's a great teammate. Everybody loves this guy. Which is then great for the Denver Nuggets to get this kind of guy. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend that was. Of course, the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Yeah, the good for me. All right, Joker was, he had 6 points. He had only 2 turnovers, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. His plus minus, though, was plus 23. Only Chris Paul had a better plus minus than him in the All-Star game last night. His team, Team LeBron, wins 170 to 150. If you're expecting defense, you're not going to get it. But Nikola Jokic was awesome.
Here's Curry. Oh, beautiful pass. And the Joker, Nikola Jokic, with the bucket. Nice play. Good hands by Jokic.
I'm watching the play right now. they're like best friends out there. You got Giannis and Joker just jumping up and down like, this is pretty cool, Colfax. I mean, Carmelo was always well-respected and all that, right? But he was never, like, almost like the best friend. Joker's like, everybody wants to be friends with this guy. It's awesome. Joker gave Giannis crap, too. Giannis gets a breakaway dunk. He's going to dunk it. Joker's right behind him and basically tells the media, is like, why didn't you bounce it off the backboard? It would have been the prettiest dunk in the history of the All-Star game. I love Joker, man. I love him even more now. He's humble. He's team first. He's not a typical sports superstar. He doesn't take himself too seriously. It's awesome. The bad. Well, we were set for UNC basketball on Saturday. We had more COVID issues with Weber State. And that's how the regular season wraps for the Bears. Now, They're in the Big Sky Conference Tournament. It has not been the season at all that I predicted it would be for the Bears. They had two massive COVID breaks, though, in their schedule. So now they set their sights toward Wednesday, 9 o'clock in the morning, Colfax. Get your coffee ready. The Bears going at it against Sac State. You're not going to lose your coffee this time.
I'll have an extra one-line around.
Yeah, I think they'd be okay. Let's just get number one. Worry about win number one. Getting a win in the tournament would be nice. The ugly, another one. Colorado State, now, do they have to go to the Mountain West Conference Championship to make it into the March Madness? They lose to Nevada over the weekend.
I have a timeout, won't take it. 3 seconds. Sherfield for the win. Knocks it down. Down, and that is it. Oh, it went in.
Yeah, that hurt. That one really, really hurt. Nevada wins that game. Tough place to play. They win it on a buzzer beater, basically. CSU got into the tournament as a number three seed, and they'll now wait. They don't play Wednesday. They'll play Thursday. They'll play either New Mexico or Fresno, who both those teams, Fresno they destroyed both times. New Mexico they just recently beat up on. They should get past that second round of the playoffs. That is our Power to Play Sports poll playoffs, the conference tournament. Our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is available at theholeshow.com. How far will the Colorado State Rams men's basketball team go in the Mountain West tournament? And the reason I'm asking this question, because I'm getting all the, why are you asking about the Bears? Why aren't you asking about the Buffs? I'll be real honest. There's no pressure on the Buffs. Like, yeah, it's awesome to win your conference tournament, but it's all about getting into March Madness for me. It's just like the Super Bowl. It's getting in, getting a chance to compete with the best in the nation. Conference tournaments are great. UNC Bears, Colfax, I'm going to tell you, man, the odds of the Bears winning this conference tournament are not good, but that's how they have to get in. For CSU, it's not just about winning the tournament. It's about just winning a couple of games might get you into the tournament, or it might not. That, to me, that's more, a little more compelling today. Because, yes, UNC has to go in and do the unthinkable and win the whole damn thing from the first. They don't have a first-round bye. CSU needs to win two games, probably needs to win their second round and then win the semifinal, go to the championship. And San Diego State's on the other side of the bracket, so that's good. But that second round, semifinals, will probably see CSU take on Utah State. So that's the way that looks, and they split in the regular season. So that one to me is the big one. Let's go see what the Hooligans are saying. Again, go to theholeshow.com to vote. 42% of the Hooligans have the Rams losing in the semifinals. That's the majority vote there, losing in the semifinals. So that means they win the first their second round game, and then they lose the next. And Colfax, that's not going to be enough. If they would have beat Nevada and then you win one, maybe so. But that's still iffy. Our poll question Friday was how many more wins? A lot of you said three, which would have been Nevada and then winning and basically advancing to the Mountain West Championship. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough. Get that first one under your belt. That's it. It's all you can worry about is that first game. Get that one, and then, boy, Friday. Friday will be absolutely madness. Absolute madness going up against Utah State. So a lot of big ones. CU will take on either Cal or Stanford. Well, they worked Stanford twice. They worked Cal once, but if you remember, CU lost to Cal about 2 weeks ago, and we thought the sky was falling. But then the Buffs come back. They lost to Oregon, but it was a great game. Tad Boyle felt good about that one, even though it was a loss. And then they went on a 4-game winning streak. A lot different than last year. They went on a 5-game losing streak, including their first game in the tournament. So much better feel for the Colorado Buffaloes. A couple of accolades to throw out there, too. I'll get to more of these later. But congratulations, first and foremost, to Nico Medved. He was named by the Mountain West Conference media members as the coach of the year in the conference. So really awesome for him to get that award. David Roddy was named first team Mountain West. Isaiah Stevens was named second team Mountain West. So congratulations to both. I'm still waiting on Pac-12 information. I would imagine McKinley Wright is going to be named the Pac-12 player of the year. As for UNC, Bodie Hume and Matt Johnson, both named third team Big Sky Conference. wasn't the season that Bodie wanted. I think I honestly thought Bodie was going to be competing for the Big Sky Player of the Year. Just didn't come down to it. It wasn't a terrible year for Bodie, but it wasn't a Big Sky MVP caliber year. Now, put a frustrating season behind you, because it was. It was frustrating for all of these guys. And actually, I'm hosting a Zoom call tonight. We do our basketball and banter. I host it with Coach Steve Smiley, updating the round ball folks and donors and people that are just involved in the program. We're going through a few things. We're going to talk about, you know, some of the struggles that we saw throughout the year within COVID. So I'm doing that. I'm doing that from home via Zoom. So that'll be exciting. I always love being a part of that. 39 minutes after the hour. Colfax, before we break, do want to thank On the Rocks Liquor. They're celebrating their 10th anniversary, and we do this every week. Our game beer of the week is from Dry Dock Brewing in Aurora. It's a blueberry smoothie ale. Pretty good for the weekend that we saw, although it's going to get a little bit I think it's going to be a little bit cooler throughout the week. Doesn't matter. Never a bad time to drink a blueberry smoothie ale. Pick up selections from them or any of your favorite breweries and adult beverages. You can use the drive-thru. It's open until midnight every night. Also, they have Molly Brown Spirits from Denver, bourbon whiskey and rye whiskey, available only at On the Rocks Liquor. 40 minutes after the hour. Colfax, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Forty-five minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. Shout out to No Limit Collectibles, man. This time of year is just crazy because we're in crossover, right? We're getting ready for the second half of the NBA regular season. We've got conference tournaments going on. We got March Madness right around the corner. Baseball, whether you're excited about the Rockies or not, baseball is coming up in less than a month. The Rockies will start, and you'll hear Rockies games here on KFKA, by the way, starting on April 1st, which is kind of weird and fitting, I guess, for the situation. But I think about, like, great ones, you know, great players and new seasons and middle seasons and chances to be absolutely fantastic. And I think about No Limit Collectibles, and they capture all those moments. You know, I just got a few things that I'm in the process of hanging up in my half man cave, I want to say. It's not that I'm half man, but it's half man cave because most of it is play area for my child to run around. I get this tiny little corner with a couch and a TV, and then up is all my kind of sports stuff. Still good enough for me. I'm surrounded by it, and I like it. So we're in the process of hanging more stuff. Definitely heading into No Limit Collectibles next week, actually, to take a look at anything. And listen, if they don't have exactly what you're looking for, then ask them, because our guy Ken finds ways to get stuff. He knows a few things. That's No Limit Collectibles. Seriously, there's no limit to what you can collect, buy, sell, or trade. Basketball cards, football cards, baseball cards, you got it. If you want to buy, you could buy new stuff or bring in some old stuff that you think might be worth something. Again, No Limit Collectibles. Eastside Chris says the ugly took Joker as MVP FanDuel line up $1. He also says, go get McCaffrey, let the chips fall. It's not happening, Eastside Chris. It's just not going to happen. McLean getting in here. Again, First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to that number. The Nuggets will never win a ring as long as the NBA continues to allow super teamsters form. At least in the NFL, everyone gets a chance, not just the big market teams. I hope that changes this year. You know what? If it's not the Nuggets, I hope it's Utah. I know. Nobody likes Utah. Whatever. I've always, you know, George Karl's teams, I was always rooting for them. And I'm a big Nuggets fan, but always rooting just a little bit harder because they weren't made of superstars. They were homegrown guys or for lack of a better term, rejects, trades from other teams. The Danilo Gallinari's, the Kenneth Faried's. And they were able to sustain success. Not great success. Could never get past that first round. But I really was hoping they could prove that you can still win without going out and acquiring 2 to 3 stars, doing what Brooklyn's doing right now. And in the Nuggets, here we go again. They have a superstar in Nikola Jokic. They have kind of a semi-superstar in Jamal Murray. They have a chance to upset the norm. I mean, the Jazz kind of, you know, they have their homegrown superstars too. So, I mean, yeah, the odds aren't good. It's going to be the Lakers. It's going to be the Clippers. It's going to be the Nets. But I'm hopeful that you can, that this NBA is changing. That maybe you get guys that stick with teams. Honestly, like Portland with Damian Lillard, you stick with teams and hope that they can draft another star. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a difference between, and listen, some people knock Golden State. There's a difference between what Golden State did and what Brooklyn's doing and what Miami did. Golden State built that team from the ground up, and then after winning a title, they went out and got Kevin Durant. Got one guy to come in. I have no issue with that. More so on Kevin Durant than I do Golden State. But what Brooklyn's doing, I mean, yeah, you're just assembling all these great guys, and they're all buddies, and they're texting, and they're screwing over teams. You know, James Harden really not giving it his all with Houston and then going away. So you're right. I mean, these major market teams are frustrating. 49 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. When we come back, let's talk about the Joker. I'll get to my games of the week as well. I always put that together for you on a Monday. You can check out my games of the week each and every week at thewholeshow.com. We'll take a short break. Wrap up our number one already. My goodness. More on the Denver Broncos. More on conference championship week. It is a busy, busy week here, and we're pumped to be talking about all of it. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Think your bracket can win it all? Join the Hull Show's Bracket Challenge and hear the latest in hoops on 1310 KFKA. The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, second half of the NBA season, well, for the Nuggets anyway, begins on Friday. I think some teams get back in action on Wednesday. And it's the push for the playoffs. It's the push for a better seed right now. But it's also a push for Nikola Jokic and the MVP watch. I would say it's Joel Embiid leading the way right now. And that the big difference is, well, they're the number one team in the Eastern Conference. They have, what, third best, fourth best record in the NBA. Denver sitting at sixth, 21-15. They're not that far behind Philadelphia, but they're in the West. So some work needs to be done. I think you can make a case if Joker can keep those numbers. You can make a case, but they need to finish in fourth or third, the worst they could finish. So not that far away. I mean, the Lakers are sitting at 24-13 at number three. Phoenix, 24-11. Utah 27-9, best record in basketball. And we'll see. That's going to be the push. But it was a lot of fun, you know, seeing Joker in action and just following his career from day one. Think about how his career started, man. The Jusuf Nurkić thing. I mean, Nurkić started at center. He was supposed to be their next big man, their guy, their maybe a star. Joker comes in, and then they like him, and then they want to try starting both of them. You know, Jusuf at center, Joker at power forward. That didn't work, and then they moved on from Jusuf, and it was all Joker after that. Pretty cool. More on that coming up. Conference championship week. Colfax, my games of the week. It's not just a regular game. It was too hard for me to do it. I couldn't just pick a game. So I'm just gonna say Mountain West, Big Sky, Pac-12 conference tournaments, and it starts on Wednesday morning. UNC playing in the first of all of those games against Sacramento State. That is at 9 o'clock. Colfax, I believe, and we're still double-checking, I believe if they win, we will not have a show on Thursday. So we will get that game started, I think, at 12 o'clock with a pregame at 11:30. So that's if they win. If they lose, they're done. And everything I've heard about the NIT, CIT, and all that stuff, some of them aren't even going to have tournaments. And then, like, the NIT is going to be very strict on who it's letting in. Only a few teams getting in. So I'm told, for the most part, that if the Bears lose, no matter what, even if the option presented itself, there's no other option to play beyond, you know, this game on Wednesday if they lose. All right, second hour. We're going to get into more of the conference schedules, the matchups, how UNC, CSU, CU will match up against their respective second-round teams, or for UNC first-round teams. NBA second half of the season, the biggest storylines. What do the Nuggets need to do to keep this consistency going? What can we expect with this Mike Malone lineup? More on the Broncos, Von Miller, Philip Lindsay. So much more. Second hour coming up next.